shall we speak about this evening?
This is the Christmas season. You've sung 3 hymns pertaining to Christmas. But I'm not going to talk about Christmas. Not that I am against Christmas. You remember the Lord himself attended a feast on Hanukkah. Check it up in the Gospel of John. But I do say this. Christmas is an irrational holiday. And there is a sense in which Christmas makes no sense. We celebrate Washington's birthday not because he was born on February 22nd. We celebrate his birthday because of what he did. We celebrate Lincoln's birthday on the 12th of February. Not because he was born on the 12th, but because of what he did. We celebrate the Lord's birthday on the 25th, which was not the day he was born to begin with. And we celebrate it because he was born. There's no reason for us to celebrate a person's birthday. All of us here were born. We should be celebrating it because of what he did. But you don't hear much of what he did. All you hear is, he was born, he was born, he was born. I say it's irrational. Now, does that mean that I'm against Christmas? No. As I mentioned, the Lord attended the feast on Hanukkah. Now, nowhere in the Bible will you find Hanukkah. Man made that up. But the Lord took advantage of the circumstance to be present and to utter his great speech. And I say that to celebrate Christmas correctly, we should take advantage of the people's willingness to hear the word of God and give it to them. Now what shall we talk about? We've been considering together the godly kings of Judah. And we want to continue this evening to consider the life of Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now remember, I'm not against Christmas, but I do consider it highly irrational. And we continue our study of the godly kings of Judah. Second Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1. We might start with chapter 25, verse 26. Our last study was concerning Amaziah. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, they are not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish, and they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses, buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. At this graceful burial, he was carried on horses. Now check back and see how the other kings were buried. He died in dishonor. And now his son. Verse 1 of chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father. 16 years old. What a responsibility. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. How old was he when he died? Fine. He reigned longer than any other king in Judah. His son Jotham had the shortest reign in Judah, 16 years. Uzziah died in disgrace and dishonor. His son died in honor. It isn't the length of time that we serve, it's the quality of time that we serve that comes. We read on. Verse 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. How good. According to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Let's pause there. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I have to go back to school days. If any of you are in school, seek the Lord. You'll prosper. You remember Daniel chapter 1? We could turn to it now, but we won't. Daniel and his three friends, they didn't eat the king's provision. They ate that which God had said they should eat. And then one day, examination came. And the king himself examined them. And it wasn't a written exam, it was an oral exam. Have you ever taken an oral exam? It can be tough. All these men, I remember one oral exam I took. All the heads of the department seated there, firing questions at me. Well, that's tough. And these four boys, following the Lord, obeying the Lord, depending on the Lord, went before the king. And the Bible tells us that he found them 10 times more excellent than all the others. Don't be afraid to stand up for the Lord in school, at work, at home, at play. You honor God, and we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Them that honor me, I will honor. Stand up for the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. I think of some of the folks in New York, we used to have, well, they still have, what we call street meetings. Generally called street meetings, we call them open-air meetings, in July and August. And the saints would get there on the street corner and gather around. And then I noticed there were always a few that stood apart from the gathering. They didn't want to be identified. They were ashamed of the Lord. If we want to prosper in the things of the Lord, we need to be identified with him and not ashamed of him. And he will prosper us. Let's continue to read verse 6. He went forth and warred against the Philistines, break down the walls of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. Now, some of you have been to Israel recently. Did you go to Ashdod? Did any of you ever go to Ashdod? Oh, my, I went there. And one man in the group said, what are we here for? What is there to see? I enjoyed Ashdod. You know why? Because that's one of the cities spoken of in the Bible. One of the cities that was against God. And there I saw some of their false gods and false images. I enjoyed being at Ashdod. And Ascalon, the same thing. And so nice when you can actually visit and see some of these places that are spoken of in the Bible. But let me not go aside on that. Verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and Mehumans. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. His name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, and he strengthened himself exceedingly. I tell you, beloved, they may not like you at first, but if you honor God, it's amazing he'll make your enemies to respect you. In school, at home, at play, wherever you go. Oh, he's so funny. He's so different. You'd be surprised how they respect you, even as the Lord made these enemies to respect Uzziah. Stand up for Jesus. You'll win in the long run. I have told you this before, and I'll tell you again. When I was in school, there was one fellow there. I'd never done anything to him. Just met him the first time. You know what he told me in the second year? He said, "Arthur, I hated you so much I could have killed you." I hadn't done anything to him. Graduation day, his mother came to graduation. He was a very popular fellow, a former football player. He saw me in the distance and waved and told me to wait. And all of his friends were there hailing him, and he passed them by and came straight to me. "Arthur, I want you to meet my mother. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ," and it's amazing how he made even your enemies to respect you. Might be hard at first. It isn't pleasant being hated when you don't know what you hate for. But in the long run, you'll be respected. Let's read on. Verse 8, "The Ammonite gave gifts to Uzziah. His name spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt. He strengthened him exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. He built towers in the desert, digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, and he loved high husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Manasseh, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Under their hand was an army, 3,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets, haberdines, bows, and slings to cast at, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men, to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows, great stones, and his name was spread far above." And you will notice that with all of the godly kings of Israel, they all had a big army. And we, as the Lord's people, are in a warfare. And as we read in 2 Corinthians, our warfare is not fleshly. We don't use atomic bombs and bullets and knives and stones and things. We don't use those. Ours is a spiritual warfare. And then you get it in 2 Corinthians. You know, we need to know what we're fighting for. And as we go into this spiritual warfare, what are we fighting for? What are we trying to do? And we get it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are trying to win the minds of men to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the fight is all about. As I mentioned, all of the godly kings had armies. I'm not going to talk about the armies. We mentioned the armies and something about our enemies when we spoke of Jehoshaphat. At another time, I think it would be fit for us to talk again about the enemies that we face in the world today. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And in due time, we'll talk about them again. But let's read on. The latter part of verse 15, "His name spread far abroad, and he was marvelously helped when that he was strong." Next verse. "When he was strong, his heart was lifted up." Pride. Oh, beloved, pride goes before a fall. We read in Proverbs. When he was lifted up, his heart went out in pride. And pride is a very subtle thing. There are all kinds of pride. All varieties of pride. Have you heard the story of the brother? He met with some of his other brethren. They had a meeting, discussed certain things. And at the beginning of the meeting, he stood up and said, "Now there is one thing I want you to get straight and understand and never forget. I am the humblest man in this meeting." He was proud of his humility. Pride is a very subtle thing. Are you proud, beloved? Are you proud? And you know, well, there are various kinds of pride. There's pride of face. That's what gets you somewhere in Hollywood. But do you know that in this gathering right here tonight, you have some of the finest looking people on earth? Naturally and spiritually. Fine, handsome young men and beautiful young ladies. Right here. And beloved, don't be taken up with pride. Pride of face. Pride of place. Oh, I have a better job than you. I make more money than you do. But you know what's the worst of all? Pride of grace. Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Verse 5. Pride of grace, which say, "Stand by yourself, don't come near me. I am holier than thou." Spiritual pride. Luke chapter 17. Just beware of being proud. Pride is what got Uzziah into trouble. Luke chapter 17. I've given you the wrong chapter. Yes, it's 17. You tell me, which is... Is it 15? 1950. Yes. No, it's not 50. Which is the chapter in which you have the publican and the Pharisee praying? 18. Thank you. Oh, there's a start at verse 9. Thank you, brother. Spiritual pride. Pride of grace. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and said and prayed thus with himself, "God." Isn't that some way to address the Lord? "I thank thee that I am not as other men, and like this publican." So pride, spiritual pride, I call it pride of grace. Years ago in New York, you know what a sister said to me? She said, "Yes, you all are saved," referring to assembly people. She belonged to another group. "But when we get to heaven, we are going to be nearer to the Lord than you." I said, where do you find that in the Bible? She said to me, "God has his favorites and he likes us better than he likes you." Pride of grace. Let's watch it. Now, we may not put it in so many words, but we often boast that we know so much more than the next fellow. Be careful. In most instances, it's true. God has revealed to us things that he has not told many others. It is true, but that's no reason for pride. As we just read concerning Uzziah, it was when he was proud that he got into trouble.
We go back to Mr. Uzziah. Second Chronicles, verse 16. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. And pride is very subtle. When we come to Hezekiah, we shall see the subtlety of pride. Do you know that Hezekiah was a proud man? Godly man, yeah, very fine fellow. But he was proud. He was so proud that when the Babylonians came to him to inquire as to why the dial stopped, instead of telling them about the dial, he told them about how much money he had. They didn't ask him how much money he had. They came to ask him about things divine. His mind was on his possessions. I ask you, beloved, are you proud of your house? Are you proud of your clothes? Now, I know it doesn't happen with anybody here. But have you ever, well, you haven't done it. But there are those people that go to a closet, there's no space to put anything else, and they look and say, I have nothing to wear. That's pride. That's covetousness. The self person. Me first. But let's read on. 16. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Pride before a fall. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And beloved, that's what we need in this day when people are going against the word of the Lord. We need valiant men. Because in the book of Numbers, it tells you very clearly, the only ones to go into the house of the Lord, into the innermost parts of the temple and the tabernacle, were the priests. Uzziah had no business there. 1 Corinthians 4:6. And those men that went after him, we read, were valiant men. Valiant men. 1 Corinthians 4, did I say? Verse 6. And these things, brethren, speaking about the things he wrote previously, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake. Now, why? That you might learn not to think of men above that which is written. Don't go beyond the written word. That's what that sentence is saying. Go by the Bible. In the book of Numbers, as I mentioned, it is clearly stated that only the priests were to go into the temple to offer sacrifice. Uzziah got proud, and he got big, and he went beyond what the word taught. This is our standard. This is what we go by. Don't go beyond the word. That's why you have to be so careful of what translations you read. Because in many of those translations, they go beyond what God says. And tell you what they think the translation is and what God says. I have mentioned this recently, I mentioned again, the Seminar of Five. Every time I think of them, I laugh. Here are five men living today, and they tell us that the four Gospels, the men that wrote those four Gospels didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They all spoke the same language. And when the Lord spoke and people didn't understand, he explained to them. And they, these thousands of years later, are going to go back and say what John really meant.
Well, John didn't know what he was saying. And Luke didn't know what he was saying.
Going beyond the word. Be careful, beloved, of what you read. And if it goes beyond the scriptures, it's absolutely wrong. The Bible is our standard. We go by the Bible. Verse 17. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. Oh, you have to be valiant these days and stand up for the truth. Tolerate no nonsense. I didn't say fight. But don't agree with those who go contrary to the word of God. And we have a lot of them. You take the Million Man Movement and some of these other movements where they're getting in all these men. Among them, believers. But how is a believer going to work together with a man who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? How can you work with him? We need to be careful that we go according to the word and not beyond the word. Valiant men. We read in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 16. Quit you like men. Oh, brethren and sisters, don't be afraid of the word of God. Don't be afraid of those fellows that contradict the word of God. Stand up. And as we read in Ephesians, when it's all over, the King James Version says, stand, and having done all, stand. I like the version that says, stand, and having done all, remain standing. Oh, isn't that noble? When you're with these people that want to go contrary to the word of God, remain standing, valiant. Stand up for the word of the Lord. Well, George told me today about an incident, I think, with Kelly. She stood for the Lord at school. That's what we need. I've told it several times. You have heard it, no doubt. A cousin of mine, she went to be with the Lord last year. It was on a Wednesday afternoon that she called me and said, I'm very upset. I think I'm in trouble. I said, well, what's the matter? She said, I just took a biology exam. I said, so what? Biology isn't that hard. She said, I know. But at the end of the examination, I made a note. I said, what did the note say? I have answered the above questions according to the theory of evolution, but I want you to know I don't believe in the theory of evolution. What? How many of you would do that? How many of you had the courage to do something like that on an examination? Final examination. Your grade is determined by that. And she called me back on the following Wednesday with a cheerful voice. I said, Marge, how'd you make out? She said, very good. I got an A in the course. I said, and what did the teacher say about what you wrote down? The teacher said, neither do I. Yeah. Stand up valiantly for the Lord. And he will honor you. Now there are times, of course, when you're going to be laughed at and scorned. Don't worry about it. The Lord is on your side. It's like David, you know, when he fought the giant. Sunday school teacher was teaching a little boy about David and the giant. And the little boy came home and said to his father, all the armies of Israel ran from the giant. He said, but David had that sling. And David looked at the giant and said, he's so big I can't miss him. That's the approach. That's the way to use the word of God. Against these infidels and all these other people I was telling Brother George, many of these TV and radio commentators, I'd like to get them together in a group just like this. There's some questions I'd like to ask them. They all pretend to be so smart and to know so much. Yet when you put them together, they never agree. I listen to Channel 26 almost every evening, and they have these world authorities. And the world authorities very seldom agree. They don't know as much as they would have you think. But if you want real knowledge, it's in this book. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read on. Verse 18. They withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary. Thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. How did they know that only they should go in there? Who told them that it was I didn't belong? How did they know that? You read it when you go home in Numbers chapter 20. They knew the word of God. And when we know the word of God and we are guided by the word of God, victory is sure. Again, I say to those of you that are in school and workplaces where are these various temptations, go by the book. Go by the book. I've told you this many times. We go to scientific meetings, you know. And before the meeting, they always serve a collation. And the collation is usually very interesting. You don't need teeth to digest or take in the collation. All they do is drink. And when I come in, oh, here comes Garns. He only drinks water. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. You will have the last laugh. But let's go on. Verse 18, they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was angry. Isn't that odd? He's doing the wrong thing. They're correcting him, and he gets angry. A lesson for us. When the word of the Lord shows us that we are wrong, don't get angry and don't make excuses. Accept the word of God for what it is. The word of God. 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hastened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. Let's be careful to go according to the word of the Lord. Disobedience to the word of the Lord, and we get ourselves in trouble. Not with our fellow men, but with the Lord. This is our standard. Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. Isn't that sad? He had the longest reign of all the godly kings of Judah. He was a leper to the day of his death. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Oh, beloved, let's stop and think. What is our end going to be? if I follow the path that I'm following today, where am I going to end up? What is the end going to be? He was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper. He was cut off from the house of the Lord. Jotham, his son, was over the king's business, judging the people of the land. The rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. And for a man who had such a good beginning, God prospering him, what a terrible ending. Why? Because of pride. The book of Micah, please. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? May the Lord grant that we may walk humbly before him. And in spite of the blessings that he grants us, not to rise up in pride as did desire. And our end will be like that of his son Jotham, a glory to the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the lessons that thou dost give us, the warnings that thou pass on to us along the way. May it be ours to walk humbly. May we profit from this lesson of Uzziah. And because of thy goodness to us, may we not rise up in pride, but may we remain humble. Bless us now as we take leave of this pleasant meeting. Take us home in peace and safety. Keep us during the night, we pray. Grant thy blessing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.